Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's first gospel, we hear a very simple story about two men who were blind, and they heard about Jesus and his ministry and how he was teaching and preaching and healing the sick. And so they came to him and begged him for healing. And lo, he healed them, and they were able to see. And it's a very beautiful thing, because to receive sight is absolutely essential to our lives. I mean, can you imagine? Certainly we have people who are blind and they find ways to manage and with much help. But certainly, sight is a great gift. And the truth of the matter is that physical sight is one kind of sight, but there's another kind of sight, and it's spiritual sight, and even insight. That is the ability to see the true meaning of things around us. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, today we gather to celebrate the baptisms of Lisa and Noah and also Gregory and Nathaniel, who were baptized yesterday. And what we hope is that they, and all of us together, will receive renewed spiritual sight, so that we will be able to look at the affairs of life and to discern what is good and what is bad for our souls. This is essential. And what's so fascinating about the society in which we live in, which is probably not unlike many other societies in ancient times, is the world is continuously trying to convince us that those things that are harmful to us are actually good for us. Can you imagine that this goes on continuously? And as I say, I think every Sunday, through the media, the television, and through the music, it goes on and on and on and on. There are images that are broadcast into the center of our being, which are destructive to us, and which harm us. But of course, in order to understand that, we have to understand that we are created in the image and likeness of God. That's the way Adam and Eve were created, in the image and likeness of God. And what does that mean? They had, in the image of God, with regard to mind, the ability to discern things. And the likeness with regard to virtue and will, the ability to choose what is right. And here they are, created in this remarkable state, and in paradise. And what is paradise? Paradise is like an oasis. If you ever been to the desert, you know, you see it's really quite a remarkable thing. You can be driving along, and it's all sand on both sides of the road, and you come, and you start to see trees in the distance. And when you see the trees, you know that the center of those trees, there is a spring of water that gives forth water, pure water, clean water, plentifully. And all the plants, the seeds of the plants that are dormant and unable to live without water, come alive and they begin to grow. And an oasis is formed. And people gather in that place because they can receive the water and they can drink and then they can do their work and you can grow things and fruits come forth. And that's the way paradise was in the beginning. It wasn't a material paradise. It was a spiritual paradise. And Adam and Eve were at the center of this reality. And what they did is they laid all care upon God. Here they were. And what does that mean? It means that prayer was not something extraordinary for them. It was something that was natural to them. It was their fundamental and most natural and primary mode of being, to pray. And here they are, they have their hands up. And the light of God is shining down upon them. And they lift up their hearts. And without even speaking words, the light of God came down into the unity of their mind and heart and shone out like the light shines from a prism when it's held up in the sun. And all the different colors come. But the light didn't have colors. It had different kinds of virtues. And everything that lived in the presence of this light was at peace. And the lion and the lamb could lie down together and live with one another. And as we know, with the fall and the introduction of evil coming into the hearts of Adam and Eve because of disobedience against God, chaos broke out. And the lion and the lamb devoured one another, and people devoured one another. And they were filled with greed and with hostility and anger and lust and passions of all kinds perverted. And what is so important about this is that we are living in a world, for the most part, of delusion. We live in a delusion. What we try to do is find a place where everything's okay. You know? But not a place where we're overcoming the darkness. We find a kind of a medium point, somewhere in between. And so it is what happens, and what is so important for us today, is that through holy baptism, we enter into the life of Christ. And the possibility of being mediators of God's love and His uncreated energies, which winnow away the darkness and create an atmosphere where life can be sustained. This possibility is returned to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We go down into the waters in the name of the Father, and then again in the name of the Son, and then again in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we die to our past. We make a vow before God, we die to our past. And we're raised up into the light of Christ, and we receive through Holy Chrism of the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to renew us, in the hope that each and every day, through prayers and humility and love and kindness, renouncing anger and frustration and carnality and all of the things that destroy us, that we little by little grow in Christ and we become Christ-like. And that the love and the divine energies of God flow through us. You know, there's only so much we can do in the material world. People of remarkable virtue. You try to do things to help. It's very difficult because you can't help people who don't want help. You can't help people who have committed themselves to be in neutral, not struggling one way or the other. And so it's hard. It's hard. How does this happen? But it happens through Christ, because the Holy Spirit of God can come and find in each and every heart and mind the possibility for regeneration, the possibility that is nurtured by faith. That somehow there's a just this little bit of our interior life that somehow believes that there's something more than who we are. There's something more than this life. There's something more than just being in neutral all the time and find a way not to be extreme about anything, period. And to sort of, you know, have a bargain, as it were, with the devil, to see it stay off our back. And we hope that the light will come and our faith will grasp hold. And then when our faith begins to say, there is something else. There is a new, renewed life. You see it in the life of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. You see it in the life of the apostles. You see it in the life of the saints. They had a unique character. They had a unique energy. An energy of transformation. And they lived by it. And so our faith begins to open our eyes and hearts to the possibility. And then we begin to hope. We hope that somehow we will find the way. That we will find the way and the means to enter into this new life and be renewed. And when we find it, what do we have? We are filled with love. Why? Because love is the gift that God gives us. That transforms us and changes us and renews us. And it's a gift that we want to share. Can you imagine if we were free from anxiety and free from anger and free from all the passions that draw us away? And we had faith and hope and love. And love was in us in abundance. It would transform the world in which we live. It would happen in the families. It would happen in our little communities. It would change. Just a few people transformed and living in the light of Christ and radiating His love can change a whole community. And this is our hope. And this is our promise. Our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ gave us his promise. Believe in me. Live according to my tenets. Live according to my commandments. Love one another. Help one another. Be true to one another. Avoid the passions. Avoid the spirit of the world. Push it away, and I will give you the help to push it away. And if we do this, we will find this unbelievable path. And it's a path that is filled with rewards. Can you imagine in the early church, there were hundreds of thousands of martyrs, literally. People who believed in Christ, and then they would be killed. And what made them martyrs is that when they were challenged in their faith, the soldiers would come and say, "No, will you offer incense to Caesar? Caesar is our God." And they said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And they said, "Well, you don't offer incense to Caesar, and you want to remain faithful to Christ, we're going to cut off your head." And they would say, "I would rather lose my head than my soul." And this is, and it was thousands of people. Why? Because, like the blind men that came to Jesus Christ, their eyes had been opened, and they saw the truth. What is life really about? It's about spiritual life. It's about life in Christ. It's about salvation. It's about love with one another. It's about bearing one another's sins and bearing one another's problems. It's about the community bound together in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us all say our whole soul, mind, let us say,
Lord, have mercy.
O Almighty God of our fathers, we pray thee, hearken and have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your mercy, beseech thee, hearken and have mercy.